get him to come forward. Welcome, Brother Philip. Now, I leave him to introduce himself because he'll be the best person to kind of introduce what he's doing, the ministry he's in. So, children, you may go to your classes, please. Thank you.
Well, it's a good morning. It is a good morning. Well, as I look across this congregation, I can see people from all over the world. If you come from another country, I want you just to look at me very clearly now. Look at me. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming to Australia. Australia needs you. So thank you for coming. And please, please, please don't hide away. But seek to be a blessing. So thank you for coming to Australia and see that you've come to be a blessing. Before I speak, I just want to share a little bit about me. This is my wife. If you want to follow my ministry, you can follow it on Facebook. Next slide, there's also the website, philipeast.com. So you can follow my ministry, Twitter, Facebook, philipeast.com. Next. I have a family. My wife's on our far left. She's actually one of the pastors at Churchlands Christian Fellowship, which is a large charismatic church in Balcatta. So she's one of the leadership team there. So she's there this morning. The first son next to her is a youth pastor at an Assemblies of God church in Eden Hill, as well as studying law at UWA. Behind him is our youngest child. You will find him at the Joondalup police station. So if you've ever got any problems, you might find him. He's a policeman at the Joondalup police station. So last night he got home just after midnight, and this morning at 9 o'clock he left my house and he said, "Dad, why are you still home? Are you wagging church today?" And I said, "No, I'll be speaking somewhere else." So he went to Churchlands this morning, and at 11 o'clock he started on duty. So people of Joondalup should be safe this morning because he's on duty there. And then child number the third is our daughter, our eldest. She lives in Canberra. She works in a secret organisation in the Department of Defence. So I don't know what she does, but she's there and goes to an Assemblies of God church. So it's a wonderful thing to all be involved in ministry. We all are involved in different ministries, in different places, shining for Jesus. Next one. I, as a young man, was a pastor in Canberra, the capital of Australia, for 12 years. I started a church with no one, went to the streets, went door knocking, reached out to Australians that were not followers of Jesus, did that for 12 years. But after 12 years, I began to sense it was tita cocok. If you can speak Malay or Indonesian, you'll understand that. Tita cocok. It was not a compatible calling for my life. And so I handed my church to someone else. This man got a good-sized church, money in the bank. And then I began to seek the Lord for his calling for my life. And I was in a meeting at a medium-sized charismatic church one night. And I was, at the end of the meeting, I was standing there and the preacher came and he laid hands on me and began to prophesy this scripture from Isaiah 55, verse 5. Now, I'm a white Australian, okay? I'm a baby boomer, 50-year-old white Australian. We do not cry. Okay? It has to be a big thing for boomer white Australians to cry. But as this preacher laid hands on me and gave me this word, I began to shake. I don't shake. I went down, began to weep as this word about a nation that I did not know would call me and I'd be anointed to minister to that nation. That was 1999. I went through a difficult 2 or 3 years, my wilderness experiences. The Lord was teaching me new things. In 2002, I was invited to go to two countries, Russia and Indonesia to minister. Now, I apologise for this statement, but I chose Indonesia because it was the cheapest. It's not very spiritual, I know. But I went to Indonesia and two leaders came to me and said, your ministry can make a difference in the leaders in our nation. For the next year, every morning I'd wake up in Canberra feeling burdened and I began to prepare material, etc., etc. Next slide. And the Lord gave me a clear calling to equip the next generation of Christian leaders in the nation of Indonesia. Next. In the last 11 years, I've visited Indonesia over 35 times. Libi Tigapulu Limakali. And preach from Aceh to Papua, from Sulawesi down to Sumba, preaching to small crowds in the village of 25 people to 10,000 in the big city churches. And so 7 years ago, I moved my family from Canberra to Perth at great expense, big step of faith to be Libi Dekat, to be closer to Indonesia. And so some years I go there 7-8 times to minister, other years 2 or 3 times. As well as that, I'm a university student at Edith Cowan University, plus I work a job in the government. Doors continue to open, and so my wife and I are willing to step out and move to Indonesia next year or the year after so we can be based there to help the next generation of leaders, plus extend our influence into other nations in that part of Asia. Next. I'm excited to hear that your church has an interest in Indonesia. It concerns me that many Australian churches are more interested in what's happening in America, Europe and Africa, but for some reason have little interest in our nearby nations. I want to congratulate you for your interest in Indonesia. And I want to remind you of two key things. Indonesia has 45,000 villages without a church. 45,000 villages without a church. Indonesia has 100 million people that have never heard the clear gospel. So that's 5 times the population of Australia. Have never heard. Belum mendengar. They have never heard the gospel. So my challenge to your church, don't go where Christ is being preached. But my prayer is as you get an understanding of that nation, you can make a difference in some villages that have never heard the gospel. I'm preaching here in Maluk. This is a couple of years ago. I'm preaching in Maluk, which is a town of about 10,000 people in Sumbawa. And that church was the first church ever. So a town of 10,000 people, about 10 years before I was there, the first church ever was established. So this couple that started this church left Lombok and went to this small town of 10,000 people to start the first church ever. Heroes of the faith. Here, I'm doing a secret home meeting among the Sunda people. There are 30 million Sunda people that live around Jakarta, Bandung, and there's only a few thousand followers of Jesus. 30 million. So I'm supporting this ministry with my time and some finances that's ministering to these Muslim people. They're all Muslims, but this group are now followers of Jesus. And so these are the ministries and the places I want to challenge others to be involved in bringing about kingdom transfer. Next. This morning I want to speak about abundant grace. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3-8. We'll be looking at Ephesians 1 chapter 1 verses 3-8. A number of times in the next few minutes, so please keep this chapter open. 5 or 6 years ago, I was in Timika in Papua. So you might know the island of Papua has two parts, the independent Papua New Guinea and then the Indonesian part called Papua. I've been to Papua, West Papua, maybe 7 or 8 times. And when I was in Timika, I was taken to their headquarters. There's this massive mining company called Freeport. And I was taken to their headquarters, and there was a big protest. There were thousands of Papuans. They were protesting for more money. And so we parked the car and we walked to this protest, and we're at this protest and I'm talking to them and I'm asking, you know, some questions. And then all of a sudden, the rain comes. But it's not like rain in Perth. We're talking about a heavy thunderstorm. We're talking about raindrops that you think are about the size of a marble. And within 10 minutes, I was soaked from head to toe. Every piece of my clothing was soaked. My shoes were soaked. And we walked to the car, and it was like my shoes were like leaden. Then we had 1 hour drive to the hotel. I was flooded. I was covered. Every skerrick of my clothes was covered with water. As followers of Jesus, we are covered. We are lavished with the grace of God. And so I want to speak to you about the grace of God that has been poured over us, that's been lavished upon us as followers of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of grace, which he has made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 7, the second part. According to the riches of his grace, which he made abound to us. Another translation says, according to the riches of God's grace that he has lavished. I love that word. That he has lavished on us. Let's spend some time getting an understanding of the abundant grace. Next slide. What is grace? Grace is the word in the Greek charis, which means unmerited favor, goodness, and blessing. So grace is not something we've worked for. It is the unmerited favor, goodness, and blessing of God. This unearned blessing comes through Jesus. If you look in John chapter 1, you will see that Jesus came to bring grace. It says in John chapter 1, verse 14, talking about Jesus, and the Word, that is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace. Full of grace. Verse 16. And of his fullness we have received, and grace for grace. This is the key verse. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This favor, this goodness, this blessing came through Jesus Christ. Jesus came to planet Earth to show the love and goodness of God. See, in the Old Testament, the people could not experience the grace, the favor, the blessing of God. But when Jesus came, he came to show the goodness and grace of God. And when Jesus hung on the cross with blood pouring from his head, from his hands, from his side, from his feet, that blood was shed that we might be forgiven, come into relationship with God, be recipients of the grace and favor of God. Because of the death of Jesus, because of the resurrection and ascension of Christ, the whole world can experience the goodness of God. They can be forgiven, come into relationship with God. This is a choice. Maybe you've come to this place today. You're seeking God. You're trying to work your way to God's favor. You have to only do one thing. Receive the Lord. The Bible says when we receive Christ, we become his children. We are in a position of blessing. We have forgiveness. We have new life as we turn to Christ. And all over the world, people are saying, Jesus, I believe in you. I want to follow you. The moment that people say, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life, I leave my past behind. At that very moment, they receive grace. They're lavished with the favor of God. July last year, I was in the village of Lempe in central Sulawesi. This is an area where your church is seeking to be a blessing. So as I'm in Lempe, this is about 6 hours from Palu, on a rough, long, windy road. I'm there for 3-4 nights and just speaking in these small village churches, 50 to 150 people. And after I preached, I'm just among, just general chatting with the people. And I saw this one lady. And because I've been to that part of the world many times, I understand what that tribal group's like. So I looked at this one lady and I recognized her face was different. And I said, Permisi Ibu, saya Malbatanya. I said, excuse me, I want to ask you a question. And I said, but Rasel Darimana, where do you originally come from? And she said, I'm a Bugis person. I thought, very interesting. The Bugis people originate from South Sulawesi and there's only a few hundred followers of Jesus from that particular group of millions of people. And I said, so how did you become a follower of Jesus? She said, 10 years ago, I was seeking the Lord during Ramadan and I had a vision of Jesus. She then met a Christian. They prayed. She received the Lord. Soon after that, she married a preacher. Now she's a lady pastor with Greja Pentecosta, with the Pentecostal church there. She received grace, the favor, the blessing of God. Because, see, Jesus is for everyone. In February this year, I was in Nepal. The reason I was in Nepal was to go trekking. I turned 50 this year, and I wanted to challenge myself. So I heard about trekking in Nepal, and so I booked to do a 10-day independent trek with my wife, a porter. We just trekked for 10 days, a wonderful thing to do. Before I went trekking and after I went trekking, I did some ministry. On my final day in Nepal, after I'd finished trekking, I met a man by the name of Philip. And Philip is now a pastor in Kathmandu. And I could sense something amazing about this guy. I said, tell me your story, Philip. He said, 10 years ago, I was in hospital and I was sick. But I said, before that, tell me what caste you're from, Philip. He said, I'm a Brahmin. See, the problem in that part of the world is most of the ministry is focused on the low caste. So Christianity in that part of the world is known as the poor man's religion. And I said, Philip, what happened? He said, I was in hospital and I was sick, and an American came and prayed for me. I got healed and I got saved, and I was taken to be educated in Singapore. And now Philip in Kathmandu, because when you're upper caste, you can minister down easily. And so this man has a church of 750 people in Kathmandu. Now, there's very few followers of Jesus in that part of the world. And he goes once a month to village, to village, to village. He said, Philip, these villages before we went, there were no followers of Jesus. But we go with the simple message of the cross, the resurrection, and the free gift of eternal life, the message of grace. And he said, we preach, we pray for the sick, and we follow up. And he said, now there are villages that are 95% followers of Jesus. Because the message of grace is a message for the whole world. Next slide. The top picture is taken in 1950. This picture is taken in the jungles of West Papua. You can see the woman there in the left-hand side. And if you look over on the right-hand side, you can see a little boy with his arms like this. This woman is Gracie Cutts. Her husband, Bill, was paralyzed in his body, and he walked like this. Had one whole part of his body paralyzed. But he understood that the people of the jungles of Papua needed to hear the message of grace. So Bill Cutts, a crippled man, but with a big burden and a big heart, left America, flew to Jakarta, flew to Makassar, flew to Biak, then was flown into central Papua. And this is one of the pictures of him walking across. They're walking through this jungle area on one of the many treks they did. So this is his wife. This is their child. And this family walked for days into the Moni tribe, 60,000 people that had never heard the message of grace. The 1950s. A crippled man with his wife went into that area of 60,000 people. They'd never heard the message. They were headhunters. They would like your head. Chop their head off. They were headhunters. But they heard the message of grace. They received the message of grace. I went to that area in April last year, and I spoke to leaders. Now in that area, there's 130 churches, and most of the people are followers of Jesus. See, our message is a message of grace. Jesus has paid the price. All people need to do is say yes to Jesus. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. Maybe you're a seeker of God. I've got good news. You can pray today a simple prayer. You can come to Jesus after the meeting. You can speak to Pastor Philip, to Nigel, to me, to someone else. And we can pray with you. And at that very moment, you will become a child of God. As we look at grace, the favor and blessing of God, it's not just for salvation, but it's to help us do the will of God. Let's open to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. So grace is the favor, the goodness, and the blessing of God. Salvation, being born again, is the favor, the blessing, the goodness of God. But the grace of God is also to help us do the will of God. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That means it's available to everyone. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present age. Because of grace, you can do the will of God. Because of grace, you can overcome. Because of grace, you can shine for Jesus in the midst of a pagan culture. That's what that scripture is saying. So grace is not just for salvation, so we become the children of God that are going to heaven, but grace is to help us do the plan of God. Next slide. Let's look at the power of grace. Let's look at the spiritual blessings that the Apostle Paul spoke about in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, where he says to the believers, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." Every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. I want to speak to your mind here for a while. Many times as a young preacher, I made this big mistake. I focused on what people must do. Big mistake. Focus on what people must believe. Believe right, do right. For the next few minutes, I want to look at some scriptures to renew your mind about the blessings that you have in Christ. These are blessings. These are unearned blessings. This is what grace is. So let's look at some blessings that we have as followers of Jesus. Verse 4, next slide. Just as he chose us, we have been chosen. The Lord, in his grace, reached down and chose you to be his child. He reached down. All you had to do was say yes. Someone brought the message. You said yes. We've been chosen. You've been chosen. You've been chosen. You've been chosen. And the Lord has a unique purpose for your life. We have been chosen. But what will we do? The Lord has chosen us. He has a special plan for us. But guess what? We can do what we like. Philip East. He can pursue his career. He can focus on having a good superannuation. He can focus on having lots of money in the bank. Or else, he can do what the Lord has called him to do. And what I'm called to do is very different to what you are called to do. This is where the struggle comes. Do we do what we want to do? Or do we do what the Lord wants to do in our lives? What we need to do is what we want to do and what the Lord wants to do. Have that in alignment. We've been chosen for a kingdom purpose, to live a life pleasing to the Lord. Number one, chosen. Number two, adopted. Next slide, verse 5. Having predestined us to be adopted as sons by Jesus Christ. The moment that you're born again, you are adopted. You're not an orphan. Here in this photo, this little boy, his name's John, was adopted by this man, Bill Cutts, and his wife, Gracie, in 1951-52. As this couple were ministering in what's now known as Papua, what was once known as Irinjaya, they could not have a child. They went back to America, and while they're in America, they adopted this little boy. They chose him. The Lord chose you. And he adopted you into his family. John got a new father. The moment a person becomes born again, they get a new father. They're loved. You might have been rejected by your earthly father. You might have been treated badly by your earthly father. But the moment that you're born again, the moment you receive Christ, you're adopted into the family of God. This is John today. John is 60. He's in good shape. If you ever, gentlemen, if you ever meet John Cutts and your wife's there, don't let John take his shirt off, okay? He walks through the jungles. He's this muscular 60-year-old man, adopted as a baby by people that loved him. And today, he's still ministering in that area that he was taken into as an infant. We are chosen. We are adopted with direct access to the Father. Number three, we're accepted. Next slide, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted. Accepted. Your father, as you're growing up, might have been conditional in his love. Our Father in heaven is not like that. The moment that you're born again, you're accepted. You don't have to do anything because it's grace, it's favor, it's unearned. You're accepted. Even when you make mistakes, you're accepted. Even when you disobey, you're accepted. Think of the prodigal son. He was not doing what the father wanted. But the father still loved him. You know the story. He was a long way from the father. He was living a self-indulgent, hedonistic, lascivious, licentious lifestyle. But he came to his senses. And he ran back to the father. And what did the father do? What did the father do? Did he say, "And the titterbuggers, you're no good"? What did the father do? He accepted him. This is the story of our father. You're accepted. So when you make a mistake, don't run from the father. Run to the father. I think, Nigel, you can help me here. Stand up, Nigel. So this is an illustration. When you make a mistake, which we all do, we all have shortcomings. Don't feel bad. But run to the Father. That is our Father. We can learn from our mistakes so we don't repeat them. We have grace to help us do this. But remember, we're accepted. We're accepted. The Father loves us. Because of grace, we're accepted. Next, verse 7, redeemed. In him we have redemption through his blood. This is a big word. Redemption. Redemption. I want to make it real simple for you to understand what redemption is. One, two, three, four. Just come to the front quickly, please. To understand this word, we need to go back to the era of the Roman Empire. So in this illustration, these four men are slaves. They're in the slave market and they're for sale. Now, this woman here is a very wealthy woman. Come and help me. This woman is very wealthy. She comes to the slave market to buy a slave. Come with me. Come with me. Now, we're in the market. Now, this lady is going to put in an offer to buy these slaves. How much will you pay for this man?
I don't think I want to buy him.
$200? $200?
No.
How much? You have to get a price.
He works more than that because he's a good child.
Yeah. Well, how much?
I ain't paying him.
Oh, okay. Well, you can go and sit down then. She's no good for the illustration. You will come. You're a wealthy lady. Come on, quickly come and tell me how much. How much for this man? Quickly. $50 for this man?
$500.
Okay, good. Okay, $500 for this man?
Yes.
Okay. She says she'll pay $500. I will pay $700. And then I will say, go. I've released him. I've redeemed him. How much for this one? $500? I will pay $800 and I will let him go. I've redeemed him. How much for this one?
Same price.
Okay. Now this one has to be more, doesn't it? That hairstyle has to be worth more.
The same price.
Really? Where are you from? Wow. Okay. So I will say for this man I'll pay $800 and for this man I'll pay $1,200. And then I release them. You can go. That gives you an illustration of what redemption is to pay the price and then release them. That's what Christ did on the cross. He paid the price for our sin and released us. So there you've got a very complex concept called redemption simply illustrated. It's to purchase and release. Jesus paid the price for sin, broke the power of Satan so that we could be free to do the will of God. Blessing number 5, forgiveness. Verse 7 goes on to say, the forgiveness of sins. The moment we come to Christ, we are forgiven of all our sins. Think of a whiteboard. On the whiteboard are all our sins: unbelief, lust, greed, selfishness, whatever. The moment we receive Christ, the blood of Jesus washes away all our sins. Follower of Jesus, stop. Berhenti. Stop focusing on the past. Because of grace, they're all forgiven. In life, many people are focused on the past and the present. That needs to stop. We need to focus on the present and the future. In Christ, the past is gone. We're new creations. We've been forgiven. I've spoken about 5 blessings we have in Christ. We're chosen, adopted, accepted, redeemed, and forgiven. Next slide. As we understand these blessings that we have in Christ, we can overcome obstacles. You understand grace. and you can overcome obstacles. You can take on the challenges of life. As I was preparing this sermon, I was reading the epistles, and did you know that many of the epistles start with the word grace and end with the word grace? Did you know that the final verse in the Bible has the word grace? We need to be reminded of grace. And as we're reminded of grace, this helps us walk into the fullness of God's plan. We need to be reminded of grace and renew our mind in grace. It was day 7 of my trek in February. I'd walked for 7 days with my wife. I got to my destination, Annapurna Base Camp, 4,130 metres. I'd walked for 7 days. The next day, we walked what had previously taken us 2 days. We'd walked from 4,000 metres down to about 1,000 metres. We arrived at this village called Chomrong. Chomrong has hot showers. We'd been walking for 3 days in the same clothes. We had not changed our clothes for 3 days. We slept in them, and it got so cold we would sleep in all our clothes. We'd left our highest point at 8 in the morning. At 5 at night, we arrived in Chomrong. We did lots of walking. Down, down, up, down, up, down. When I arrived at the guest house in Chomrong, I got the key. I took off my shoes. I turned on the hot water. Fully clothed. Everything got hot, got soaked, got washed, because it was smelly, it was dirty, it needed to be washed. As followers of Jesus, we need to wash ourselves in the understanding of grace. Wash away the bad thinking and understand what we have in Christ. We are not limited. You can be victorious. You can overcome because of Jesus. Here's a quote for you. What God's truth demands, God's grace will provide. What God's truth demands, God's grace will supply. Many times we think, wow, what I'm called to do is too much. What God's grace demands, what God's word demands, His grace will supply. You have all the power, all the strength, all the wisdom you need to do what you're called to do. Oh, but Philip, it's so difficult. What His word demands, His grace will supply. As you understand who you are in Christ, as you look to the Lord, you can overcome. Romans 8 verse 37 says we are more than conquerors. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says that in Christ we can conquer. We can overcome in Jesus. In all circumstances, in all challenges, as you look to Jesus, you can overcome. The key is focus. Will you focus on the problem or will you focus on the solution? Last April, a year ago, as I'm in the mountains of Papua, ministering to the Moni leaders. This people group were just coming out of a famine. There was a famine that hit this people group, and the babies were dying, the old people were dying. That man that you saw as a baby and then as an adult, John Cutts, single-handedly raised the finances, flew in food to keep this people group alive. This man, John Cutts, told me an amazing story. He said, in the big mining company, there was a husband and a wife. Their baby died at a young age. These people were followers of Jesus. They'd lost their baby. It had died. But they understood grace. Rather than focusing on the problem, they heard the stories of all the Moni babies dying of malnutrition. So what did this couple do? They looked to Jesus and said, Jesus, we want to help the Moni people. So they organized fundraisers. They organized events. And this husband and wife had had a terrible tragedy. But because they were followers of Jesus, they looked to the Lord. They raised thousands of dollars. And this one couple saved thousands of babies from dying. What a great lesson. In the hardship of life, in the difficulties of life, we have a choice to make. Oh, my life is terrible. My circumstances are so hard. That's focusing on the problem, and the circumstances will only get worse. Or else, you can focus on the source of grace. And whatever the circumstances, we can overcome obstacles. And we can live an abundant life. Grace helps us overcome, and grace helps us walk into the abundant life that Jesus has for us. Remember, you're chosen. You're adopted. You're redeemed. You're forgiven. As a new Christian, we learn this scripture, John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus come to give us life. To walk in that, we need grace. And as we look to the Lord, we can leave behind being average. We can leave behind laziness. We can leave, but our family, we're just average Australians. We just do a little bit with our lives. In Christ, you can shake off average. Oh, but our family, we're just lazy. You can shake that off. Oh, but we just don't feel good about ourselves. Shake it off. We can do great things when we understand grace. Oh, but I'm addicted. I've got this problem with pornography. I've got this problem with alcohol and cigarette abuse. Oh, I've got this problem with gossip. I just can't get over. Yes, you can. You can shake it off. Please be honest. Who here has Facebook? How many people have Facebook? Okay. So I have Facebook, but I'm not addicted to it, okay? Facebook to me is a tool. I got this message on Facebook 2 months ago. Now, many people that I have as friends are not real friends, okay? They're just people that kind of know me. And I got this message from this woman I didn't know. She said, Pastor. She may have been in one of my meetings, or maybe I've written a few books. Maybe she read one of my books. I don't know. She said, Pastor, I'm in pornography. Pray for me. That just flashed up on my screen one night. And I thought, wonderful. wonderful. I said to the woman, I could tell by her broken English that she was Indonesian, and I said, Dari mana, where are you from? Da 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 da. So this woman is from Manado in northern Sulawesi. And I said, Grace, that's her name. I said, Grace, thanks for being honest. Because the moment that you're honest, you're positioned for success. I said, three things, Grace. Number one, God loves you. Irrespective of what you've done, you're loved, number one. Number two, right now, go boldly to the Lord and confess your struggles. And I said, Grace, under Pergi Kugureja Upa, what church do you go to? Some Pentecostal church. So I felt some confidence there. So I said, number three, go and speak to someone at that church you can trust and get prayer to break the hold of that thing in your life. So whatever struggle you're in, and every month I'll send her a message, Bagi mana, Grace, how is Grace? Just encouraging her. So whatever your struggle is, as you look to the Lord, you can shake off that worry, that addiction, that fear, because you're a loved child of God. And you can walk into your calling. All the grace that you need is there for your calling. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. You have a measure of grace. You have a measure of grace. And it's different to me. So I respect Pastor Philip. He has grace. I don't compare myself. Stop comparing yourself. I've had the opportunity to preach with some big preachers, and I've had to make a choice. I celebrate them. I don't compare myself. We have different portions of grace. It's only when you do what you're called to do that you can experience the fullness of that grace. Final slide, please. I close with four short stories of people that understand that they are graced for a task. You have favor and blessing for a task. Learn from others, but don't copy. Learn from others, but don't copy. Look at the person next to you and say, learn from others, but don't copy. This man here, Alex, lives in Jakarta. 16 years ago, he arrived in West Java to work for a big multinational company. As he is working for this multinational company, the financial crisis hits that area and many people are starting to starve. Alex was a Christian, but he was not spirit-filled. As he's in this place simply to make money, God gets a hold of his heart. The Toronto blessing hits that area. He gets filled with the Spirit. And Alex goes into the nearby villages with rice and starts laying hands on these people, started to see people get healed. Now, these are all Muslim people. Today, Alex still works for a multinational company, Monday to Friday. Saturday, drives out to the villages, lays hands on the sick, casts out devils, prophesies. Now, there are many followers of Jesus in villages near Jakarta, because one man had received grace in salvation and the gifts of the Spirit. Now he's being a blessing. This little Chinese doctor here, I met him in 2002. He said to me, Phillips, 2002, he said, I want to build a hospital for the poor Muslim people in our area, 95% Muslim. Well, he tried various things. There were setbacks. There were difficulties. There were misunderstandings. But because this man is focused on grace and kasih karunia, this is earlier this year, the 5-story hospital was nearly finished. It's now finished. Open. Free treatment for the local people. Unreached people, but come and experience the love of Jesus. Here I am in Pokhara, Nepal. This man here, Raju Gurung, again in an area where there's only a few followers of Jesus. He has 12 orphans. Single-handedly looks after 12 orphans and teaches them about the ways of Jesus. This is John Cutts. You saw the earlier photo of him as an orphan that had been adopted into a family. He's there among the Moni people, helping them, equipping them for the fast-changing world that they're a part of. These are 4 examples of people that understand they are blessed. They have grace. They have callings. And they're stepping into that calling. It's the same for each of us. We have grace. We have callings. It's time for us to shake off being average, to shake off guilt and comparison, and walk into our kingdom destiny. Let's stand to our feet. Nigel, can you come forward with the music team? I've spoken about grace. As it says in Ephesians chapter 1, the final slide, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, the riches of his grace which he has made abound to us. As followers of Jesus, we have been lavished with grace. It's flooding us. It's all over us. It's time for us, as the people of God, to shake off those things that are limiting us. And just as these 4 have, walk into our kingdom destiny. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that we've been called, that you've reached down, you've chosen us, you've adopted us, you've accepted us, you've redeemed us and forgiven us. Father, by your Holy Spirit right now, I'm believing you to set the captives free. I'm believing you to call people to do extraordinary things they can only do in you. I'm believing, Lord, that you will touch people and move them into more of your kingdom purpose and your plans. While we're praying, it's your moment. It's your moment. It's your moment to get free. Right now, there are people here with addictions. You know what that is. And you know it's not right. It's a limiter. It's like a lead weight. It's keeping you from your kingdom purpose. Right now, you can begin to softly pray and say, Lord, I confess my sin. You can say, Lord, I know you love me. I know I'm your child. But Lord, I know this is keeping me from my kingdom purpose. And right now, in Jesus' name, I break the hold of that laziness, of that fear, of that addiction, of that torment. And right now, you can begin to, as the musicians just play and form the background music, there are people right now, you can can get free. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. And right now, you begin to speak out. There are others of you. You're like the prodigal son. You're running from the Lord. But right now, you reach out to the Father and say, Father, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And let Him touch you in His love. There are others of you. You know you're chosen, but you're walking in self-will. You have a kingdom purpose. You have a kingdom purpose. It's time to say, Lord, I want to walk in your kingdom purpose. There are others, you're comparing yourself. Stop comparing. Walk into your kingdom purpose. So as Nigel leads us in singing, I want you to be praying. This is your time to receive a fresh touch from the Lord. This is time for you to get set free from that tormenting spirit. This is time for you to align yourself with your kingdom purpose. So let's lift our hands, lift our voice to the Lord. Whatever it is, it's your time to cry out to the Lord right now. So let's be praying, let's be seeking the Lord.
Your grace is sufficient.